Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game on.
All right, folks, well, a happy St. Patty's Day.
Woo! Yes. Yes,
the 14th.
Happy St. Patty's Day, Rob.
That's right. It's Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFO Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. I'm Rob McQuay, your host. The voice you were hearing just a moment ago is Jeff Coles, my co-host out in Mount Vernon, Ohio. And,
yes.
Boy, Jeff, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Like we said, St. Patty's Day coming up, and hope you enjoy that. And
yes, I brought along my wife from Ireland, Carmel, and, of course, she... She's our good luck charm for St. Patty's Day, and hopefully the Orioles.
Well, there we go. Carmel, welcome to the show. It's always good to have a guest and one that's. Ireland. So do you have, Jeff? Did you have? I mean, I remember I had these when we were kids. Maybe you did. You have the button that said "Kiss me, I'm Irish."
No, actually, what I had, and I don't know where it is now, was a button from about the 1940s that had Erin Gobrah written on it.
Okay.
It was, I don't know where it is now.
Yeah, I don't know where the Kiss Me, I'm Irish buttons are either, but, boy, we wore those when we were kids. All right. There's plenty to talk about, Jeff. We've got spring training, obviously. It is March Madness time. The Big Ten conference has just been completed. The NFL draft is looming. So there's all kinds of stuff to cover. The college basketball scene, of course, around here has been disappointing, shall we say. Maryland projected at before the year, you know, going into the college season as the number three team in the land. They actually were at number two a couple of times during the season, but they've fallen, and they lost out in the semifinal of the Big Ten tournament. And now they sit with a 5 seed in the south of the NCAA tournament, playing South Dakota State on Friday, it looks like. I think they play Friday.
Yeah.
I know you haven't been following them a whole lot, Jeff, but following maybe from afar, but it has been disappointing, and I think one of the most frustrating things if you watch a Terps game at this point is that they're not rebounding and they're not playing transitional basketball, and that's why they're losing games.
And you can't feed your offense without those two things. But, you know, Rob, I'll tell you what, the top teams across the country, there's no real clear front runner. Like, sometimes you'll have a Kentucky or a Kansas or whatever be a clear front runner, but it just seems that even the best the top four or five teams are vulnerable, and this is probably one of the most uncertain brackets coming up for NCAA that I've seen in years.
Yeah, no, you're right, and Kansas. Four.
Rob, lost you.
You don't hear me?
I hear you now. You're faded. You keep fading in and out.
Okay, I've got to check this microphone then. But what I was saying is Kansas sits with a season record of 30-4. Both Oregon and North Carolina sit at 28-6. And then the fourth number one seed is Virginia at 26-7. So that's just illustrating your point that the top, and those are the top four seeds in the tournament. They're all kind of bunched together and then only separated
by a couple of games, maybe. Maybe three or four games.
Yeah. So having said that, that means it should be an interesting tournament, and I have a feeling that a lot of people's brackets are going to get busted.
Yeah, I've got Holy Cross all the way.
Now, I lost you for a second. You've got Holy Cross
all the way. Okay. I got Holy Cross all the way.
Do you really?
I'm kidding. But one of these little teams is going to come up and bite somebody, and it's going to happen more in this bracket. I think we're more prone to that happening this year than maybe any other year. So very topsy-turvy kind of that's what I think is going to happen. And I'm still poring over my bracket, and I'm still trying to figure out which way I go. I'm thinking of maybe getting two brackets and filling out two sheets or three sheets.
Yeah. Well, and it you know, to your point, it happens where, you know, a 16 seed or you know, some little team from somewhere, you know, becomes that Cinderella team and does some things that nobody was expecting. So, it's what makes March Madness and a lot of fun. So we'll see. So it starts tomorrow night with Vanderbilt, Wichita State, Florida Gulf Coast at Fairleigh Dickinson, Michigan. Oh, no, that's Wednesday. Michigan against Tulsa, and Holy Cross, who's going to win it all, against Southern. And that's on Wednesday. So two games tomorrow night, two games on Wednesday, and, you know, we're off and running. So should be fun.
I think we should adopt Holy Cross. I think they deserve something. I know they have only three or four fans across the country, but, you know.
All right. Well, they need. You know, and look at it. I mean, Holy Cross's record, do you know what their record is for this year?
I think it's like 14 and something.
Yeah, 14 and 19. So they have a losing record.
14 and 19.
But they make the NCAA tournament as a 16th seed. And I wonder who they play.
Because they won their conference, and that's all.
Yeah, right.
Must be a terrible conference.
Well, you know, but even in those – no, wait. They won the conference or they won their tournament?
I think that's what it was. They won their tournament.
Wow.
Still a terrible.
But, yeah, I mean, but, you know, of course, anything can happen. I mean, look, if you look at the Big Ten tournament oh, my goodness. Who's the number one seed? Lost in the first round, and I can't even think of it. So,
and the number one seed would be, what was it, Michigan State?
No. But they won the is it Kansas?
Kansas. Oh, you're talking about Kansas. Okay. I know what you're – yeah, Kansas.
Yeah, so –
so they're vulnerable.
They lost.
Yep. Maryland's strong. Kansas is vulnerable. We know that. So that's the biggest barrier that the Terps are going to have to face if they, you know, make it that far.
Right. All right. Well, we'll talk more about it next week. Be a much clearer picture by the time we get together next week. So, all right. The spring training, the Orioles.
Yeah.
Finally won a baseball game. Of course, then
it's been a long time coming. They're 1-10-2, I think, now.
Yeah. So, but you know what? I'm not going to get all up in arms about spring training ball. It becomes a little disconcerting when you see the amount of runs scoring on them. But having said that, you know, I'm looking at a replay right now of Tampa Bay, Boston. It must have been over the weekend. I'm not sure. Maybe yesterday. And Tampa Bay is at this point, let's see, at this point they're winning like 13-5. So, it's all throughout spring training. It's not just with the Orioles. It's just the way spring training is. Pitchers are working on their pitches. Batters are working on things, and you're seeing a lot of guys playing that aren't going to be on the major league roster. There's not a lot to be terribly worried about.
That's important for a couple of reasons, because not only are there pitchers that are having trouble, but we're not going to see them at the major league level anyway, but there's also pitchers that are having trouble against guys who aren't going to be on the major league roster, against batters, who they should be getting out. I've sort of categorized pitchers and especially starters, but I also put in some relievers. And we're halfway through spring training, and I'm starting to see some things, and I'm starting to make some notes, and mm-hmm. I made some lists, and I'll kind of, we can bandy these about a little bit. The first list is a real simple one. I call it about right. And that would be Zach Britton is about where he should be. Ubaldo Jimenez. He started out terribly. I know that. It looked like last year again. But what he was trying to do was learn to throw a changeup. And he's abandoned that. He's back to doing exactly what he did last spring, which was to throw the sinker ball.
Okay.
With that, he's done much better. He had some good innings here in his last two starts.
Yeah,
Darren O'Day. Yes. Darren O'Day is doing fine, and Michael Gibbons, has put mm-hmm. in some good innings for the Orioles. And mm-hmm. Right now your starters are getting around maybe 6 or 7 innings total. So it's really not a good look. And obviously these next lists that I start to go over, there's going to be improvement, and some guys are going to do a lot better. I mean, I've got a list called Great Expectation. Kevin Gausman, obviously, everyone is looking for him to become an elite pitcher, either this year or next year. Chris Tillman, we want to see him bounce back. He's trended down a couple of years, but we've got Matt Wieters now. His elbow's hurting. That's not a good sign, because I think Matt and Chris work together. Right now, I don't know where Chris is as far as his hip flexor, but he hasn't put in really any time yet, so I can only put him on expectation.
Yeah, let me jump in on that, Jeff, real quick. He threw a successful bullpen session yesterday, and he remains in line to pitch on Tuesday, tomorrow. So, we'll see if that all follows through, but everything seems to be okay with the hip.
Good. I've got a list of guys for whom I want to see more, because they've shown me something, or they are, they're having a good start, but maybe they've had 3 or 4 innings, and that's really not enough to tell. But I'm kind of interested here. Vance Worley threw a couple of innings. He had 3 strikeouts. He's a righty. He's 28 years old, and he has a 3.79 lifetime ERA. The important thing here is he was a starter with the Phillies. And, if we needed to switch somebody from the bullpen to the starting rotation, he might be a possibility.
Okay.
Cesar Cabral, right now another 3 innings. He's 3 games, 3 innings pitched. I don't think he would be a candidate to become a starter, but he would, he's someone I want to see more from. Pedro Beto, another 3 games, 3 innings innings pitched, no earned runs. He's a big guy. He's 6'6" and 230. And he's had a long career in AAA. But maybe he's ready to come up and, you know, and be a, you know, a player in the major league level. Parker Bridwell is not a starter, but he's already had as many innings as the starters. He's already pitched 5.2 innings, and he's got a 3.18 ERA, and he's and the pitch batters are hitting 227 against him. You know, maybe not a full time starter, but a spot starter.
Right.
And we have, you know, guys like Oliver Drake and Tyler Wilson and Chad Rowe are kind of honorable mentions on the one to see more list for me.
Right.
Good. Dylan Bundy, you know, not there yet, but he's progressing in the right direction. So I put him on a list called Getting There, but he's the only one on that list.
What are they going to do with him, Jeff? Because he's got to be on the major league roster this year.
He pitched an inning and he gave up a walk and a run. But and no strikeouts. But right now his ERA is 6.75. You know, I mean, he's probably going to be somebody at the end of the bullpen, you know, until he can, you know, get a little stronger out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they put him on a DL, maybe just to start the season, maybe to give him some simulated games and build him up. But like we said, I think Gallardo had a couple of he had a rough start and, you know, two innings, and I think the jury's still out on him. And the same with T.J. McFarland. I think you know, there's just not enough time, you know, to really to judge them.
And T.J., remember, has been dealing with elbow soreness, so so he quite a whole lot of work. Again, Showalter says that yesterday he pitched in some kind of a session yesterday, I guess probably simulated or whatever, and that went great, according to Showalter. So, you know, we'll see. TJ has been valuable to this team. If he can feel good and be healthy, he is definitely an asset coming out of that bullpen or making, you know, the occasional start.
Yeah, he's a great swing man. He really is. And, you know, I want to, you know, see him. He's going to be vital to that bullpen.
Yeah.
I've got a list right now of, and it's not a permanent list, and obviously one start can, or one good outing can get you off this list. But right now, today, if the season starts, I've got a list called No Way.
Okay.
Miguel Gonzalez. Miguel Gonzalez, who gave up six runs last night. The Twins won 14-5, gave up seven hits. His ERA is over 22 runs a game. And he is slowly sinking from Gonzo to Bonzo on my list.
And why is that, Jeff? I mean, again, is it just because it's spring training and he's working on it, but he's not being able to
I lost you, Rob. Okay, you know, I don't know what his problem is right now, but he's already 0-3, and maybe perhaps he's trying to add a pitch or do something, you know.
Right.
But we need him to be good. Hunter Harvey, I would say that the Hunter has become the hunted.
Yeah.
he gave up a third of an inning. He gave up three hits and five earned runs last night. His ERA is over 20.
Yeah.
Now, Mike Wright. He's sitting at the number five position.
And it's another Dylan Bundy situation here with Hunter being hurt all the time and, you know, just not getting the time in. So jury's still out on him.
He can be sent down. Hunter Harvey is basically a non-roster invitee, and he can be sent down.
Right.
So you know, that's not as bad as you being stuck between, you know, the way Dylan Bundy is.
Right.
Mike Wright is the number five starter on the team, and you know he's a big fellow. You know, he's 6'6". You know, he really, I think, could really work out and be a good number five guy. But last night, or not last night, but right now he's given up 10 hits and 7 earned runs. Hitters are batting .333 against him. And that's, you know, in this list of players I'm giving you here, this is where a lot of the losses have come. You know, it's the fact that, you know, we're making players look like Rod Carew and you know, Hannes Wagner, you know.
Right.
Despaña.
Jeff, let me jump in for just a second. He is being a fifth starter, but that's not actually true in the way they're lined up now with the acquisition of Gallardo. So, I mean, unless you're dropping Gonzo from that list, because we've got Tillman, Gallardo, Ubaldo, Gonzalez, and Gausman as the five starters. Mike Wright
he may be sixth. I might have miscounted that. So, he was on that. He was listed as the last starter for.
And he certainly was before they made the deal for Gallardo. So, obviously kind of changed things up. But they're going to need a sixth and maybe a seventh and an eighth starter, you know, early in the season. So Mike Wright certainly does figure in.
They're going to go too deep into Norfolk to have that starting rotation and just keep bringing guys up and down and do the way they do. Odorsame, Despaña, and I apologize for my pronunciation if I got it wrong.
That's pretty close, I think.
Hitters are batting .370 against this guy. I mean, you know, I don't care if he crosses his fingers to throw the baseball. It's not working.
Right.
If he's trying to get luck here, you know.
Right.
You know, I think right now I'd send him out. I'd keep him as our batting practice pitcher, you know. honest to God. I think we need to drop this very hard-to-pronounce name and give him a nickname, and right now I think it's Schlebrock.
Schlebrock. absolutely. We'll see where this, you know, what Despaña has to do and if he makes the club or whatever. So pitching, and you know, we talk about pitching because it's important. It's going to be important for this team. Let's just say this, Jeff. If the pitching, and particularly the starting pitching, because we know that the bullpen is probably one of the best bullpens in the American League East. If the starting pitching can, I would say if the starting pitching can at least average and a little bit above average, the Orioles are going to do well because they're going to hit a ton of home runs. They're going to hit the ball. They're going to score runs.
Right.
And they just need a starting staff to keep them in the games. But if they start like they did last year, where they can only go three or four innings, and then they have to get into the bullpen early, it's going to be a long season.
And that's why I think that's why I keep talking about the possibility of taking somebody, you know, at like even a Brian Mattis and taking him out of the bullpen, and who's had some starting, maybe in the past he started a few games, and go ahead and put him in the rotation, maybe throw five good innings and give it over to the middle relief guys. Better than to get, right now, and of course this is a Christopher Lee, who's going to be in the bullpen or probably in Norfolk. He's my last one on the list of no way. And right now he's only thrown three innings, and so he cannot easily get off the list. But he's got they're batting 500 against him. And at that pace, he and the Orioles will be buried and not come back from the dead.
Mm. All right, well, that's good stuff. You know, obviously we'll see how things go as spring training continues to progress.
Well, you and I have talked about Brian Madden.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, what are your thoughts on maybe an older, more mature Brian Mattis coming out of the bullpen and maybe taking a spot in the starting rotation?
Yeah, no, I don't see that. I don't think I think Mattis's starting days are over, and a part of that is because I think Mattis still deals with a bit of the head issue. And you can see him when he comes in from the bullpen. And he starts to get into trouble. He doesn't seem to be able to get out of it, and it gets in his head. And I think that's what really hurt him as a pitcher. Coming out of the bullpen, you know, Buck can pull him pretty quickly and go to somebody else.
Yeah. But they're going to have to find some kind of a solution. I mean, I think that right now we've got a couple of guys who can, who I say are ready. As far as the rotation goes, perhaps coming out of spring training, they'll have a third, maybe a fourth.
Right.
That's marginal.
Right.
And that's going to be the weakness all year.
Sure. All right. Well, you know, we'll watch all of that. I think it was good to be the newest acquisition, Pedro Alvarez, double in his first game. So that's always nice. The Orioles play the Phillies today at 1:00, and Gallardo will make his second start. So we'll see how he does with that. But you know what is of concern to me here, though, is this Wieters situation. And I know they're downplaying it. The X-rays were negative. They're not going to do an MRI at this point. They're going to hope the soreness goes away in a couple of days. I'll tell you what, Jeff, that to me that's a problem because, as we've talked about, I think Wieters is the key to this starting staff right now. And somehow he has to translate that over to Caleb Joseph. And these pitchers have got to start trusting Joseph behind the plate like they do, particularly Tillman does, with Matt Wieters. So this is of concern to me. I mean, it may not be a big deal, and it may just be some soreness, but it's tough. Tommy John surgery for a catcher, I believe, is a really hard thing to come back from because it's such a quick snap throw that you just have to get up and fire. It's not like a pitcher who's winding up and, you know, gearing up on every pitch to throw.
And you don't have that big step, and you don't have that pitching rubber to push off of. And without that slab behind you and without that force from the lower body, you're going to be you got to watch that. And they're going to run on you. They're going to keep testing your arm.
Sure. Absolutely. So, and that's another reason for the starting pitchers to do a decent job holding runners. And we don't talk about this a lot, but you know, a runner can get picked off by a pitcher, you know, rather than just the catcher. So pitchers play a big part in that.
Tippy Martinez, where are you?
That's right. Absolutely right. All right, Jeff. About all the time we have for this week. And so we've got basketball to watch, and we've got more spring training to watch. And as we get, closer into the month, we'll start to talk about the NFL draft. So.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day, Rob. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day.
thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Carmel. Happy St. Patty's Day to you guys, and folks, to you as well, and that'll do it for this edition of Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. And enjoy the sports this week. We'll talk with you again next week. For Rob McQuay, I'm Rob McQuay for Jeff Cole. Saying good night and good morrow. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Today we salute you, Mr. Athletic Groin Protector Inventor.
Mr. Athletic Groin Protector Inventor!
People love to play sports, but they don't love it when they get hit in the twig and berries.
Whoa!
For years, went down. But then you came along and said, here, stick this in your pants. The errant headbutt, the inside fastball, the wayward high five, all no match for your crash helmet.
I'll bring it on!
Sure, some athletes shun them, but don't worry, they'll come up. Bud Light protector of the package, and know that we're just nuts about you.
We're just nuts about
Bud Light beer at Ashbridge, Collins, Colorado.